Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation. We actually, I have the phones open today. We don't have any guests in the studio or on the phone today. We've had a number of guests lately on recent programs, but we are guest free today. So we've got the phone lines open. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And you can get on the air here this afternoon with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We'd love to hear from you here today. And let's see, just a reminder too to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find us on Facebook as well, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. So let me encourage you to check us out there. And we're also doing a live Facebook broadcast there on our Facebook page as well, Live with Pastor Al. All right, let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for a beautiful day today. Thank you for your watch care over us. Thank you for your blessings. We just pray that you would use the program today to encourage believers and to point people to Christ that need to trust Christ as their Savior. Use us for your glory today. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, want to mention a couple of things in the news thing here real quick before I get into something else that I wanted to talk about. But of course, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. I wanted to mention that the heartbeat bill, that's one thing, is coming back in this session of the legislature at Ohio House, and I do not have the actual bill number for that yet, but it is coming back. But the other thing I want to mention is that HCR 10, which if you were listening to our program on Sunday night, we were talking with Michael Goldstein, who's the Ohio Director for Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, and we were talking about the need for HCR 10, which is a bill that was designed where the state of Ohio would take a stand against anti-Semitism, which is unfortunately growing in this country, and also stand in defense of Israel and take a stand against what's called the BDS movement. And of course, BDS standing for boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel and Israeli companies and companies that do business with Israel. I'm not going to go into all of the details on that right at the moment. However, the resolution passed the committee on Wednesday, only one no vote. I had heard from somebody during the course of the committee that, or during the course of the committee hearings, I had heard from somebody that the people who were opposed to HCR 10 were yelling at the committee members. And I thought to myself when I read that, that doesn't sound like something that's going to help that one pass really soon. But at any rate, it passed committee, which means it's going to the floor of the House in Ohio, there in the Capitol in Columbus, and it's imperative that you keep praying for this bill. Call your representative, and I've got links to some articles on our Facebook page, and you can go there and you can link. Ohio Christian Alliance has some excellent articles on their page as well, talking about this. But so continue to pray for that. As soon as it gets out of the House, it'll go over to the Senate and then hopefully on to the governor's desk, where hopefully it will be signed relatively quickly. This is a movement that seems to be working across the country. the governor of Wisconsin, Governor Walker, they're the latest state to pass something in relation to this anti-BDS and standing against anti-Semitism, I believe, in Wisconsin, though it was an executive order from the governor that was recently signed, I believe is what that was. So pray for that, and pray for the heartbeat bill as it's coming up. All right, well, again, as I said, you're listening to Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call with your question about the Bible at our current events in light of God's Word at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Certainly invite you to visit us at our church in Richfield. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. That information will be given at the end of the program. And we have a Bible study tonight at 7 o'clock. It starts. It's an informal Bible study, and just certainly invite you to come to that if you're looking for something to do on a Friday night. It's informal. We meet at 7. We officially go until 9, but usually people stay around until 9:30, almost 10 o'clock. So you think, what are we doing? Well, we're talking about the Bible, talking about current events in light of God's Word, kind of things that we do on the radio, and we have refreshments, coffee, and different things available there. So if you're not doing anything tonight, you got some questions, why don't you bring them to our Bible study tonight and or call here on the radio. You can bring that out as well. All right, I wanted to talk about something. I had a little impromptu Bible study with a friend of mine, and it ties together, actually, two things that I found that was kind of interesting. There was a survey, and I believe it was the Barna Group that did the survey here just recently, and in the course of this survey, they found that one in five, I believe it is, millennials who are Jewish, or Jewish millennials, I guess that would be the way to say it. One in five Jewish millennials acknowledges that Jesus may very well be the Messiah. Now, that's an interesting statistic, that one in five Jewish millennials are accepting the idea of Jesus being the Messiah. And I found that to be very interesting, looking at that statistic, and trying to look at a few things in the Bible. And I was talking with a friend of mine yesterday. Actually, I was over enjoying a pizza at East Coast Pizza, and let me give you a shameless plug there for East Coast Pizza. They're located in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School, and you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. But again, talking about this, we were talking about there's things in the Bible that should make it reasonable to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. In fact, there are things that make it unreasonable not to believe that he is the Messiah. And so it's heartening to see that a number of millennial Jews are coming to the conclusion that Jesus is the Messiah. And so this, I believe, is something that points to an event during the tribulation period. I won't quite get into all of that part right now, but the Bible talks about during the tribulation period that 144,000 Jews, 12,000 from each tribe, 144,000 Jewish men specifically, are going to be sealed by God and sent out into the world. I believe they'll be working in a sense as evangelists, but they are going to go out into the world during the course of the tribulation, and they are going to be serving God during the tribulation. And so if that's going to happen, I would think that God would begin preparing, because I believe that the catching away of the believers, what we call the rapture, is close at hand. I believe the events of the millennium are close at hand, the tribulation are close at hand. And so I believe that God needs to be preparing the hearts of the Jewish people to accept Christ as the Messiah during the millennium, during the tribulation. I'm sorry, I got my tongue wrapped around my eye teeth and don't see what I'm saying. But in Romans chapter 11, at our church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, we've been going through the book of Romans here lately on Sunday morning, and recently I was in chapter 11 going through portions of that. And the Bible specifically says in Romans chapter 11, verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved." And that's exciting to know that one day all Israel, the bulk of the Jewish people, will accept Jesus as their Messiah. He says, "There shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins." Now, some people falsely try to say this is the church, this is spiritual Israel, but the next verse shows that it clearly isn't, because he says, "As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes." And so as concerning the gospel, they're enemies for your sakes. Remember, the early Christians were persecuted by the Jews who, Paul himself, who was Jewish, persecuted the early Christians until he realized that Jesus was the Messiah, and he was converted there in the Damascus Road. He surrendered himself to the Lord, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And God led him into a fantastic ministry that's given us the bulk of our New Testament in the Bible. So, but the problem is that a lot of Jewish people do not see Jesus as the Messiah as at the moment. And in Romans chapter 11, verse 25, Paul writes this, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits." He says this, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now that's interesting. Blindness in part, he says, has happened to Israel. And so for the most part, it's like a veil. Now, all of us, before we trust Christ as our Savior, are blinded by the devil, the Bible says, and we're blinded to the truth of the gospel. And when the Holy Spirit moves across our heart and gives us understanding, then we're able to see who Jesus Christ is, to see that he's the Messiah. And when we see that he's the Messiah, then we can put our faith in him, trust him as our Lord and Savior, and we can turn to him by faith, turning from our way, turning away from our sin, and we can embrace Christ as our Savior. Now, there's evidence in the scripture that Jesus Christ has to be the Messiah. And one of these things that I find that's very interesting is found in the little book of Haggai. Now, Haggai is towards the end of the Old Testament. We call them the minor prophets, not because they're minor in what they say isn't that important, but it's just that they're shorter little books. And Haggai has only two chapters. And in Haggai chapter 2, there's something very interesting here. And I was sharing this with a friend, Gus, at East Coast Pizza yesterday over one of their wonderful pizzas. But in Haggai chapter 2, the Bible says this, starting verse 1, "The seventh month, the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as of nothing?" Now, this is an interesting situation here, because this is when they come back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, the walls, and to rebuild the temple. And the temple that they rebuilt was nothing like the glorious temple that Solomon had put up. Remember, David had prepared for years with gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and fabric and all sorts of things in order to get ready to build the temple. And then God said that his son Solomon would be the one who would actually build it. And so then Solomon came on the scene and accumulated still more materials. And then over years, they built the temple. And it was one of the wonders of the ancient world. And that temple was destroyed by the Babylonians when Nebuchadnezzar led into Israel and the siege of Jerusalem destroyed the temple there. So the first temple was destroyed. And then they, when they came back into the land, they had permission to rebuild the temple. And as they rebuilt the temple, it was not anything like what the temple that Solomon had built was. It was a temple, but it lacked the adornment and it lacked the craftsmanship and all of the things and the magnificence of that first temple. Well, Haggai is instructed to say to the people, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And obviously, some people did. Some people could remember what the original temple, Solomon's temple, looked like, and they could understand that. And the Bible says over in Ezra chapter 3, verse 12, that many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice. I believe they wept because, one, they were thankful to have a temple again, but also because this second house was nothing compared to the first house. And then it says, and many shouted with loud or aloud for joy. And so the shouting for joy, the younger men, of course, had never seen the temple. They'd only heard about it. And so when Haggai's instructed to challenge them, who saw the first temple in its first glory? How do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison as it is of it is nothing? That's in Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. And then he goes on talking to them, and he says this in, let's come down to verse number 6. He says, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desire of nations shall come. Now this phrase, and the desire of nations, this is referring to the Messiah. Now remember, he's saying about how the Jewish people should recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. This is why many of the Jewish people who formed the basis of the first church there in Jerusalem received Christ as their Savior. They recognized he was the Messiah because he's saying that he would shake the heavens, the earth, and the sea and all this, and I will, he said, the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, he says, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. And then in verse 9, he says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, this is interesting because this is the second temple. The first temple, of course, built by Solomon, it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. They come back, they rebuild the temple, and God says through Haggai, what do you think of this temple? Doesn't look anything like the last one, does it? It's nothing compared to the first one. But the glory of this one, he says, is going to be greater than the former. Now, this to me points to the fact that Jesus must be the Messiah. If Jesus wasn't the Messiah, then it had to be somebody else who came before the year 70 AD. Why do I say that? Well, this temple that the Bible says the glory of it would be greater than that of the former, this is the temple that when Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph brought the baby Jesus into the temple to present him and to make the offering and to have him circumcised. And Simon is the one that saw him and lifted him up and said that he saw the Savior. I'm failing on the exact words there. He might have even said I'll not get into that. But this is the house that Jesus was presented in as an infant when he was circumcised. This is the house that Jesus went up to at 12 years old and confounded the doctors and the lawyers with his questions and his answers. This is the house that Jesus went into when he entered into his ministry and cleansed the house and said that it was that they had made it a den of thieves when it was to be a house of prayer. This is the house that was witness to Jesus preaching and proclaiming the truths that we see in the scriptures in the New Testament. The glory of this second house truly was greater because this is the house that saw the Messiah. It's just like when Jesus said of John the Baptist, he said he was the greatest of all the prophets. And the reason he was greatest of all the prophets is because the prophets in the Old Testament prophesied of the coming Messiah. John the Baptist is the one who said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John the Baptist is the one who baptized the Messiah, Jesus Christ, in the River Jordan and saw the heavens opened up and the Spirit of God coming down upon him in the form of a dove and heard the voice of God the Father say, this is my beloved son, or words to that effect. And this is the prophet John the Baptist who got to see the fulfillment of all the things that the Old Testament prophets prophesied in terms of the coming of the Messiah. He's the one who got to see him. And so that's why he was the greatest. And the second temple, the glory of it was greater than the first temple because this is the temple that had the Messiah walking in it and coming into it and visiting it. Now, what happened to that second temple? In the year 70, Titus and the Romans destroyed it. It was completely destroyed. Now, that means that the desire of all nations that will come and fill that house with glory, that's what Haggai said, Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, "I will shake all nations, and the desire of nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." There's two ways of looking at that. One is God would actually fill it with glory by putting his glory into it. The other way is that he would fill it with glory by actually coming into it. And he did in the person of Christ, in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord God, the Lord of hosts, came into that temple. Now, the first temple he filled with his glory. Remember when it was dedicated, and Solomon and the Levites, they could not go in because the glory of the Lord, much like when God filled the tabernacle with his glory, they could not go in because of the glory of the Lord. And then the glory of the Lord was maintained there inside of the holiest of holies behind the veil where the Ark of the Covenant was. Ezekiel talks about how the glory of the Lord departed out of the Holy of Holies, and it departed and it went across the Brook Kidron and up onto the Mount of Olives and left. And that's the same way Jesus went when he left. And he went across onto the Mount of Olives and ascended up into heaven after his resurrection. He's coming back. He's going to land and set foot on the Mount of Olives. You can see that in the next book of the Bible here, Zechariah chapter 14. And then he's going to descend from the Mount of Olives, cross the Brook of Kidron, and come into the temple. And that's going to be a third temple because the second temple was destroyed. And so the first temple saw the Messiah. That's why its glory was greater. That's one of the reasons why I believe that somebody looking at these Old Testament prophecies must conclude that the Messiah came before the year 70, before the temple was destroyed, or at least by the year 70. And Jesus Christ certainly did. This is just one of many, many prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled exactly in incredible detail. And when he came in his first time, his first coming, and he will fulfill these things again in his second coming. I don't have time to go into Zechariah, but as you go into Zechariah, there's some tremendous prophecies there of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just give you this here in Zechariah chapter 11, and it says this here about the Lord. It says, "And I said unto them," in verse 12, if you think good, give me my price, if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver. How much was given to betray Christ to Judas to betray Christ? 30 pieces of silver. And what happened to that silver? "And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter, a goodly price that I was prized at of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord." Well, what did Judas do? He said, "I betrayed innocent blood." He threw the money down in the house of the Lord in the temple. And they said, "Well, we can't use this as blood money." So they gave it to the potter to buy the potter's field. Isn't that amazing? All these prophecies pointing like a laser beam to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. No wonder that number of Jewish millennials are coming to know Christ as their Messiah. Well, thanks for listening. Join us next time. God bless.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.